Hello, this is Dee Dee Cassad, University Park United Methodist Church here in Dallas, Texas. We have started a program that we entitled The Wisdom of the Sages. And today we have Kathy McCarty with us, who is going to tell us a lot about her life and her interests and her devotion to the church. We're happy to have you this morning, Kathy.
Thank you.
First, let's learn a little something about you. Tell me about your history, where you're from, and what you've done in the first 50 years of your life.
Well, I lived in Oklahoma for all of my life, except for when I went away to school, until 9 years ago. And that's when that's when I moved to Dallas. Don already had moved to Dallas. But I was raised in a family, it would be hard to describe how lovely or how fortunate I feel to have been in the family that I had. Not just my parents, but my grandparents and beloved aunts and uncles. They taught us so much. My grandmother, for all the time that I knew her, was an invalid. She was bedridden. And I watched my grandfather, who was so loyal, so devoted, so kind. And there was always joy in that house. She was the kind of person that people still came to visit after all those years of being in bed, and we loved her. But my parents and all of these outlying relatives taught us beauty, they taught us joy, they taught us to think for ourselves, they taught us humor. We laughed a lot, but most of all, they taught us love. And I think because that was so omnipresent in my life, that love, that kind of love, is assuring. It empowers you, it opens the doors to the world, and you can walk through. And then what that teaches you, not to worry, not to be fearful, which is what the Bible also teaches us, and it empowers you to say yes. And that's what I have tried to do throughout my life. I graduated from the University of Oklahoma, although I had attended other universities. But I graduated from OU with a degree in finance and economics, and then went to work at first for an oil company. And I loved it, and it was exciting. It was all of those things that I expected that it would be, even though it was difficult at first, being a woman. Nobody minded saying, you know, honey, we'd hire you in a minute if you were a man. But anyway, I liked it and did well. And then there came a point, though, that taking care of other people's money no longer resonated with me. And I really wanted to find something else. I think it was a result of the fact that when Don and I were first married, we would talk a lot in times when we were just together about the fact, you know, you take stock of your assets. You take stock of what can you do. And we always knew that our greatest asset was the love we had known and the love we had for each other. And so our prayer always was, this isn't money. This isn't something we're not preachers. What can we do to share this with the world? And I have no doubt that the Holy Spirit heard us and directed us. And so I can look back over my life and see that it's a little like a fabric. If you pull some strings, they just tangle. But if you pull the right string, it unravels the whole work. And so I can look back and see that string that has directed us all through our life, from when we were first married and worked in Bible schools and directed youth groups and all of those kinds of things. And later on, that love that taught us to say yes, when you have a phone call from someone you don't know that says, will you take this girl in an emergency for a few weeks? It gives you pause and you say yes. You say, I have to say yes. I don't know where this is coming from. And so that's, I think, saying yes, even when it's not something, it's certainly not going to be something you anticipated, but it's something you feel called to do. And so that's all the way along, all the things I have pursued, whether it was teaching or serving for 18 years as a court-appointed special advocate, that Holy Spirit has been there. I didn't always have the words to go to court, but they were there. I was given the words that I needed to have. And so you just, I think saying yes to what comes in life is very important.
I remember when you first said yes to me, when I asked you to be one of the panel on the video, and you immediately said yes. And I was pleased and surprised that you would. Yes is a state of mind too, do you not think? In other words, if the Holy Spirit has been so much, and it's clear it has been in your life, what are some of the things that that maybe as you grew up and went through all this life in ways of principles that you remember?
I remember the people around me and how they lived their lives, whether it was my family or peripheral people or even Don's family when I met them. They demonstrated faith. They demonstrated loyalty. They demonstrated trust. And I think trust in God, trust in the Holy Spirit, we say that a lot, but I think you have to do that. That's the yes. And I think it was brought home to me by a little boy who was one of my children that I represented in court. And he had incredible behaviors, disturbing behaviors, but never with me. And I asked him one day, I said, Daniel, why don't I ever see these things that you're doing? And he looked at me and said, without skipping a beat, oh, that's easy, Kathy. I trust you.
And wonderful.
I thought, oh, but that's what I must do in my life. I must trust that wherever I'm being led. I think you can't make up your own mind. You have to listen. The Holy Spirit sort of whispers. It's like music coming from a window down the road. You have to listen. You can't, you're not running it. And so for me, that's important. But also I would say that, and this may sound odd, but when it's mixed with faith, my parents were readers. My father and I read a lot. We shared what we read. And when I was in about third or fourth grade, I was given 2 volumes of Rudyard Kipling. And I have carried the poem If with me all my life. And no, I don't think it's the world's greatest poem, but it might be the world's greatest advice. If you can keep your head when all of those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, and if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, I learned that early. I loved that early, and it has guided me. And I have shared that with young people who would say, well, why do you think this? And I would say, here's this poem. Take it with you. Think about it. It's good advice.
Interesting. You've mentioned your grandmother. You mentioned this young boy, and you've mentioned Rudyard Kipling. Who else has influenced your life?
Well, certainly my parents, absolutely, and my sister. Her guiding principle is it kind? And she's other than my husband, she's my best friend. And she still lives in Oklahoma City, and she's been through a lot, and we don't get to see each other. And yet every day I call her, and she plays the piano for me. And I put my phone on speaker, she puts her phone on speaker, and we connect that way. And she says, but I can't play the way I used to. And I said, yes, but this is a gift you still have. And I remember how you used to play. So I would also say the people that influenced me most, I studied ballet for years and years and years. I went to New York and won a scholarship to the American Ballet Theater School. But my instructors at home, one of whom was Yvonne Chouteau, who was a great ballerina, but they taught me an expression of joy, an expression of life that I wouldn't have been able to speak. And I think they were huge influences in my life.
Interesting, interesting. The people in your life you mentioned to me that they didn't teach you, they showed you. That's an entirely different concept. They showed you through their life, I assume.
Through their lives, how they treated other people. My parents were open to everyone. They taught me hospitality, which I think is a Christian virtue. And they welcomed everybody and they listened. Everyone loved them, but I think it was because they listened to them. They certainly had their own set of friends, but there were teenagers who weren't my friends who came to see them on weekends or in the evenings because it was obvious they cared about them. They were interested. They were available to them. And I think to be available to others, it's very important in this world. And we learn a lot from others if we're listening.
When did you come to Dallas and what brought you here?
We came 9 years ago, which was the hottest summer I've ever seen. And Don had worked from Oklahoma City for a company based in Las Colinas for a number of years. And he had had his own business before that and sold it and went to work for that company. And then when in 2008 or 9, when the financial crisis hit, they insisted that those people they were keeping, and he was one of them, would need to move to Texas. And so he did, and he lived in Irving and drove back and forth every week because I wasn't willing yet to leave the children I was representing in court. And so I stayed for, I don't know, remember whether it was 2 or 3 more years. And I still had one case left, but it was an older child. And so we moved, and I drove back and forth for court hearings and high school graduations or whatever I could do for that child. And so that we've been here that long. And honestly, I believe it was the hand of God that moved us here, because 2 months after we came here, our daughter was put on bed rest in the hospital for several months before her first child was born. So we just, you know, these are things you say, yes,
that's
we
exactly
will.
Right. So what brought you to University Park Church?
Well, we visited a lot of churches, Methodist churches, and when we got here, it felt like home. And when I say that, I don't mean it was just like what we left. I mean, home is for me what we offer each other. And we saw here, the opportunity for mission. The minister, Layton, who was here at the time, was kind enough to invite us to his office and talk to us and understand us and let us understand him and the church. And there were just, it felt like home in that there were people who were going to show you. People like Bob Monroe, who is a saint as far as I'm concerned, who asked me to volunteer to tutor at Dunbar. What a joy that was. And at the time, there was a Stephen ministry. There were ways to serve. There were ways to be useful and to live our faith. And that's, I believe the way we live our faith is our witness.
Is that also your legacy, Kathy?
Well, I hope that's my legacy. But in case no one's watching, I have a box at home that is filled with my writings, and some of them I've combined with my photographs. And so there's an introductory paragraph for my children, and they know I write. They haven't seen them all. Some of them they've seen, some of them they have. And they're, some of them are longer, some of them are poems, some of them are just thoughts. But I wanted them to know we are all so much more than what we appear to be. And this is what I believed. This is who I was. And that is what I would like to pass on. But even if no one remembers me, that's okay. I've done my best. Because 4 years ago, I had 3 strokes. Which, yes, like many people, I look all right on the outside. I'm not, because the things I loved most to do were read, write, and take pictures. And it drastically affected my eyesight. And, you know, you have to look at life and think about the gifts you've been given, not what you've lost. And that's how I view my parents, the people I've lost. I didn't lose them. I have them. They are a treasure that I will always keep. And after I had those strokes, the first time I went out, we went to the Arboretum. And I sat, it was one of their Gardens of Music nights. And it was lovely. And as I sat there, I had a realization that, oh, I may be diminished, but God is not. Everything will be fine.
That's a marvelous testimony. Kathy, thank you so much for your words of encouragement to everybody. I really appreciate you being here and talking to us today. Thank you kindly.
Thank you for having me.